Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hey, everybody, it's Mark, and I'm back for another amazing, awesome, incredible episode of Finding Your Summit. Thank you so much for joining. And this week, as always, I've got another amazing person, an amazing guest. And I'm not sure how I found her, but I did, like all these folks. And she's another piece of inspiration that's on this planet that was meant to be here for so many different reasons. And I want to first bring her in. Her name is the Unstoppable Tracy. Tracy, how you doing?
I am feeling unstoppable after listening to that fabulous introduction, Mark. Hello, hello, world.
You know, I tell you what, you know, I played in the NFL a long time ago, and that was my path. And you were so much better at branding yourself than me. I should have come up with the unstoppable or the ferocious or the crazy or something in front of my name to just kind of like set the stage, which is exactly what we're doing here today with you.
Well, so, you know, to let you off the hook a little bit, Marky Mark was kind of taken.
Well, that is all true. So, look, just right before we came on the air, you know, you and I were having a little bit of a sidebar, and I was telling you that I've met so many amazing people doing incredible things and things that are very obvious. A guy who I actually ran into at a Spartan race up in Squaw Valley, who had been hit by Matt Trapp and lost literally his legs rolling down the highway, to people that are blind, to things not as obvious like Mariel Hemingway, and her family has a history of mental illness and things like that. But for you, I just want to like set the stage, because I think the reason why you've got this title in front of you is because of all the amazing things you've been able to accomplish. And it's really about what you can do. It's not about what you can't do based on what you're limited, based on what you have in your life. And so the cat out of the bag, you are a four-way amputee. I think I've said that correctly, right?
You sure have. But I'm totally going to say that I believe I'm unstoppable, and that you are unstoppable for reasons much bigger than being a four-way amputee. You know, there's like this big secret. I was born limb, L-I-M-B, limb, itless. Yeah. And the bonus is I was born limitless. Yeah. But the bigger secret is you were born limitless, right? We are all born limitless. And so it's true that that certainly influences people's shock factor of the things I've accomplished, which we haven't even begun to talk about. Yeah. But, you know, the things I've accomplished are pretty cool, even if I had my arms and legs.
So I love everything you just said about it. And I love it because I've never really thought about it that way. You know, you're limited, you know, in certain ways, but you're limitless in the things that you've been able to accomplish. And we will get into those different things. An amazing amount of people that you've been able to engage with up on stage, very famous, to tie your name next to those folks. But let's go back to when you were a little kid, right? And, you know, who were the, well, let me take a time out really quickly, because I want to jump back into the question I'm about to ask you.
Yeah.
You've got this great energy about you, right? And so where I'm going with this, in my question is about when you trace that all the way back to your childhood, and I'm just going to assume that a lot of this had to do with your parents or other influences within family around you. The question is, you know, like, where did you get this fierceness, this ability to like attack and go after things, and a lot of it, because I'm looking at you on a video right now. You know, you're in Toronto, I'm here in Sun Valley Broadcasting, and you know, you obviously you have limitations physically, you know, from the side. And so like so much of this with so many people, and no different, I'm no different than you or anybody else. Like it's all is between the ears, right? It's what's going on in my brain. And so, but somewhere in there, you were wired for that. And that's where I'm trying to go. Like, who helped connect that wiring? Who was that positive influence in your life growing up?
Yes. And I am so blessed that I had that positive wiring. I had a mom that was born in Liverpool and a German dad. And there was a lot of tough love in my house, you know, and at 5 years old, I had to make my bed. And I remember being on a front lawn and there were kids playing on the other lawn. I grew up in affordable housing. And just for some context for the listeners that can't see me, you know, I'm missing both of my legs above knee and I'm missing my left arm above elbow. And on my right side, I'm missing my right hand, essentially. And so all four limbs are impacted, which is why it's called four-way amputee. Mm. Now, amputee sounds funny because you think amputated, but I was born this way, just congenital amputee. And so I'm sitting on this lawn without my legs, without my arms, and the kids in this affordable housing area, there's gravel driveways between us kind of thing, and they're all playing, and I can't cross the gravel driveway without my legs on and having no legs. And I said, come play over here. And one of the kids, and everybody's kind of rough and tough in this affordable housing kind of neighborhood. And one of them said, oh, don't talk to her. She is weird. And of course, being young, maybe 5 years old, how young are you when you remember your first memories? And I was crying and my mom opened the door to check on me and she said, what's wrong? And I said, well, the kids are playing over there and I want them to play over here. And they said some mean things. And she said, well, dear, how's that working for you? And she shut the front door. Hmm. And it seems like, wow, that seems really hard on a little tiny girl. But, you know, the reality is, at first I thought my mom was so mean. And then I realized, like a light bulb went off. I'm like, okay, I could be sad and I have every right to be sad. Or I could be sad and I could do something about it. And so I rolled down, I lived on my front lawn and their lawn, we were all on like the bad property because it was the affordable housing corner. Yeah. And so I rolled down this front lawn that was super steep. And there, I like to say I borrowed a skateboard that was at the bottom of the driveway. And I have one arm that's a little bit longer than the three missing limbs. So I took the one longish arm with no hand and I skateboarded over to the other lawn and I physically rolled up their lawn. And when I got up there, of course, all the kids are wide-eyed, mouths are open, and you could hear a few gasps of, oh, because this girl with no arms and no legs, who they kind of warned, stay back, just shows up on their lawn. And I could see in their faces, like, if I don't get that first word out, they're going to say something that's going to create a no play space. So I needed to speak first, and I didn't know what to say. But I was petrified. I was so scared. But even though I was scared, I put on a big smile on my face and I just made eye contact as I scanned them all on the front lawn. And I just sort of ended on the guy that was the biggest bully. And I just sort of said, hi, I'm Tracy. Can I play? And then they all didn't know what to say. Like they weren't expecting me to do that. Just by introducing myself. And so the bully finally gets brave enough to break the silence. And he says, well, the new kid's always it. And I didn't know how was I going to play Simon Says, how was I going to play tag or hide and seek. But I knew, even though I didn't know how, I had to play. I had to figure it out. Mm-hmm. And I had to figure it out right then and right there, even though I didn't know how. So without any explanation or over-explaining, much like the story, I'm sorry, is I just said, okay, I'll be it. And even though I didn't know how. And that's kind of what happened when I skied and when I sailed and when I climbed the Himalayas and when I busted Uber into Canada and when I, you know, helped the airlines with pilot strikes and bankruptcies. you know, growing from young to old through sport, through business, through humanitarian in 20 countries, that even though I didn't know how, right from that day forward, even though I didn't know how, I always said, okay, right? I always asked, how can I play? Can I play? And then I would figure out the how. And none of those kids ran off the grassy front lawn. So I was able to play tag on my, what you guys would call your knees, on my stumps, right? Yeah. Like on my thigh ends that are above knee, because they stayed on the grassy lawn. So I could run around and I could roll around and I could crawl around because they stayed on the grass. And who knows why they stayed on the grass. Even the bullies stayed on the grass. And so, it, you know, who, what influenced me? I had a phenomenal mother, but not because she mollycoddled me. Not because she was too big of a nurturer. Actually, lucky that, you know, my dad worked shift work. So it was mostly my mom doing the upraising. My dad was a truck driver, so another tough love kind of guy. And I'm just really lucky I had these two tough love kind of parents that kind of like, you better get on with it.
Yeah, there's this great video that I saw that's been viewed, I don't know, 30 million times or something, but it's this whole sequence about how when you're a youngster in school and there's this whole exchange with essentially, I think, the principal or the teacher, where they're like, you know, you really can't go to the school because you can't be like the other kids. And so there's this storytelling by you, which goes on to say, essentially, the reason why you're late to go out to recess is because you're trying to help somebody tie their shoes. Now you're like 5 years old or something. As it turned out, you know, the 30 other students in the class who are all 5 years old couldn't tie a shoe either, because kids at that age. So basically, you're all the same. So the whole point with all that is never to be left out, left behind, right?
Yes. And that video is now, since you and I last talked, 60 million viral views. It's blowing up like crazy in 2019.
Yeah, no, that's just incredible. So, okay. So as you're getting along, you still have, and I'm just trying to understand the mechanics of this, right? So when we're ultimately, there's a place where I guess you're not tying shoes, but you're putting on prosthetics and things like that, right? To help you navigate and get around, and when it comes down to writing and all those types of things, like how did that all work? You know, because there's just some things that people that are formed, you know, with hands and fingers and all that kind of stuff that you take for granted because you learn with a pencil and A B C D, you know, and you go on from there. Like, how did that work for you? And I'm sure there was way more frustration than I'm just trying to learn my ABCs. And not only you're trying to learn your ABCs, but you're trying to like actually put them on paper so you can read and write.
Yes. And well, and what I would say is, you know, for some of your listeners, you think, well, I don't have a disability and this is just really cool and inspiring. But I think it's important to think of it like, well, and I don't know how to start a business and be a mom, or I don't know how to leave my current full-time and be an entrepreneur. So maybe we're talking about kindergarten where I'm learning to read and write, but what are some of the new skills you're learning, which is like being back in grade one where you're learning new skills and to listen that way. And just to say, I was born this way. I just expected, like, they're eating with a fork, so I got to figure out how to eat a fork. And they have a cookie, so I just want to eat that cookie. So in some ways, I was really blessed to just be born this way, because I just looked at it like, well, of course I can do it. And I didn't expect not to be able to do it. And the doctors and the nurse, my doctor told my mom, you know, you better give her up for adoption. She's never going to sit up. And for whatever reason, my dad said, no way, we're keeping her. And I know that every other child getting new legs, all of them in the waiting room had adopted parents. I don't know anybody that's in my generation, the early 70s and late 60s, they were all given up for adoption because they were encouraged, they wouldn't know how to help these children with disabilities. So they told my mom I wouldn't sit up. And so, yes, people around me didn't think I could eat. And you're assuming I couldn't eat, which I totally get. No judgment whatsoever. But I just, like, I have a little stump arm above my elbow, and I have one longer arm on the right side. So why can't I hold a pen or a pencil or a glass of water between my elbow and my finger?
Got it.
And I'm showing you on a Zoom. So I just wrote between my one slightly longer arm and my short little stubby arm and squished in between. And doctors They glued steel circles on a fork, on a pencil, on a knife, on a toothbrush, on a hairbrush. And it was kind of like, why don't we just make one device with the circle and then I wear that all the time? And so all I needed was an opposition device for that one longer arm with a bit of a digit there.
Yeah.
So now I can hold my pen, my pencil, my toothbrush, and my glass of water.
That's awesome. That is so awesome.
And I'm open to you describing it a bit further because I'm showing you visually what the listeners can't see.
It's fantastic. I mean, bottom line is you just figured out a way to use the tools that you have to make it work. That's at the end of the day.
And you think you can do it.
And you think you can do it, and it's what's behind your ears, right? So, okay, so now let's go on to like you're figuring it out, you're getting bigger, you're getting stronger, you're getting more confident. I assume your happiness factor is continuing to go up. We all have high days, we all have low days, but you got to have more high than low, of course. But where did you get this whole drive about you want to take this to a whole nother level in terms of competing on a worldwide stage, sailing and a variety of these, I think it's paraskiing as well. So you've got a number of different accomplishments under your belt. You've climbed in the mountains. I mean, my gosh, where did all this come from?
Well, I think, so just like almost by accident now, you thought, well, maybe printing was really hard. And turns out in grade 3, I was the neatest printer, right? Like all people without fault, with the biggest, warmest hearts, with the best intention, always look at me positively and they're impressed with me just sitting here with no arms and no legs. But they think I can't do it. So I spend a lot of time and had done for many years, saying, I can do it. Right in kindergarten when they said, you can't come, it's like, I can do it. And I learned that when people say no to me, N-O, it's just because they don't know, K-N-O-W, right? That principal just didn't know I could tie shoelaces. And when my mom convinced him, she didn't say she can tie shoelaces. She said, can we just try? And then I ended up being the only one. And how come the only girl with no hands is the only girl in kindergarten that was required to be able to tie her shoelaces? How come not all 30 of them? And there's no judgment. It makes sense. How does one teacher manage a four-way amputee and have 35-year-olds with no helpers in the 70s? And so I got this attitude of, I can do it, right? And I'm just constantly, I can print, I can swim, I can do my own shoelace, right? And I got this little bee in my bonnet that I can do it. And I was in a waiting room at about 8 years old, and this 18-year-old walked into the waiting room where I got my prosthetic legs made. And she said, you know, there's no accessible sailing anywhere in Canada, and I want to start a program. Can you give me a name list? And they said that they couldn't because of privacy of information. But I was in the waiting room when she asked for that name list. Mm. So I said, I want to. And so I was her only sort of, I was her first student with a disability, and I joined her little able-bodied sailing program. And you know, without any legs, because I swim with my legs off, the legs are a bit like anchors, right? Because I swim with my legs off, I sail with my legs off. But because I was sitting on the side of the boat with no legs, every time we hit a wave or some wind, I fell out of the boat. But what do when you fall out of a boat? Right? You swim and you climb back in, yeah, right?
Get back in. Absolutely.
But all the other kids at the end of the summer, they all passed. They got their white sail level one is what we called it in Canada in the 70s and or in the 80s. And she said, and I knew I could sail. I knew I could do it. I knew the names of the boats. I knew the names of the parts of the boats. I knew the points of sail. Like I knew sailing. I just couldn't stay in the boat. So I went back the next summer. I wasn't discouraged that I failed. I knew I could sail. I just couldn't stay in the boat, right? And so the next summer, I figured out how to get back in the boat. I figured out how to stay in the boat. I figured out how to look outside of my boat, outside of my head, and see, oh, there's some wind on the water ahead. And so now I could brace myself, and I could sail around it, or I could like take it on and sail faster. And it turns out that's a bronze level 4 skill. So all of the other kids, the second summer, they all got their white sail level 2. I got my bronze level 4 because I've been doing this advanced study skill, learning how to balance in the boat, and my white sail level 3, 2, 1, once I learned how to balance in the boat. And so it gave me a passion for sailing really early. And what a bonus that I had that ridiculous struggle, because it caused me to advance forward. So, you know, all of us, sometimes we feel really hard done by, or we have this broken wing syndrome that something horrific has happened. And I don't know what's going on in your listeners' lives. Like, I cannot begin to judge some of the horrible, painful things and illnesses and community circumstances and what's going on at work, you know, in your world. I don't mean to judge, you know, what it is to have something where you say it's not realistic right now to spend that money. It's not realistic right now to take on that health regime. It's not realistic for me. But I know that because I live a life of no excuses, even if I'm allowed, even if there's every reason in the world no one would judge me, if I live a life of no excuses, then I get to live a life of no limits. No excuses, no limits. Yeah. It's a little bit of tough love, but it really works for me.
Well, so there's a couple things in there. Number one is the serendipity of that lady coming into the office when you're sitting there. And, you know, if it had been the wrong time of the day or any other thing that kept you from being in that office in that moment, in that time, what a game changer for you, and really then enabling you in your mindset in terms of like, if I can do this, I can do a lot of things. And then falling out of the boat. So there's this picture that I saw of you, and tell me if I'm describing this right. And it's awesome. So you're in this boat and you're out in the ocean somewhere, lake, and you're cruising along, and they literally like have your hands, your arms like duct taped to like you're not getting out of this boat, right? You are in no matter what. It tips over anything else, and you are in this, you are fully committed. And that, I think, is just says it all right there, is that you're fully committed to what you're trying to do, to climb that mountain, to race in that boat, to, you know, sail the seas. And really, I think like it's so much empowerment too. And this is one of the things I try to get across to other people in my little world, is just like when you have fear, because certainly you had fear, you know, you fall over in the water and how do you get back in the boat? And for me, it's been other things. But when you step into the fear, the empowerment that can come from that and the confidence, and then you get like, I can do this, I can't believe it. And you pat yourself on the back and then you keep going, you know, like what's the next thing that's up?
Yes. And so because I could swim, I could sail, and because I could, well, more like it, because I could swim, I could fall out of a boat. And because I could fall out of a boat, I could spend a whole summer figuring out how to get back in that boat. It wasn't the first try. And because I could sail, I could teach sailing as a teenager. And because I could teach sailing, I could get my teaching degree. I could demonstrate teaching competency. So I got into teacher's college. And because I got into teacher's college, I graduated with a degree from Queen's, a well-recognized university in Canada. And I ended up teaching in Nepal, in Uganda, in Mexico, in Jamaica, and I taught all around the world as this humanitarian. And because I did leadership development and teaching around the world, I got an incredible opportunity to work at Air Canada, because I was worldly, because I was educated as an educator, and because I could adapt and connect to other cultures. And I had a teaching degree. So that's what Air Canada wanted when they were going through pilot strikes and bankruptcies. So it proved, and instead of hiring me for serving customers with disabilities, they hired me for management and career development, problem solving and conflict resolution and valuing diversity of all kinds. And it was incredible. And then through Air Canada, I got all these high performance train the trainers with gurus like Stephen Covey and Ken Blanchard, and well recognized for those that you know it
They're
or don't
huge,
know
yeah.
it.
Stephen Covey is huge.
Huge. And so I can deliver Stephen Covey content. And I can, and I was just nominated, not just like the last past year, just with the John Maxwell, out of 160 countries, and number one female transformational leader. The only person that beat me out in the male category was a NFL football player, first name Randy. I got to find out his last name for you.
All right. Well, I mean, look, it's, you know, when you start talking about the word transformational, I think, again, that's very inspiring because not only you're teaching people strategies, real strategies on how to emerge in a more successful way with their companies or their personal life. But again, it gets back to that, you know, that world of inspiration of we can all inspire ourselves. I mean, I'm inspired by you and I'm inspired by others. I don't know if anybody's inspired by me, but it doesn't really doesn't matter.
Yes.
It's what I'm trying to do. I'm not trying to do this for somebody else. I'm trying to do this for me, just like you do what you do for you. And that's the magic dust in all of this stuff that really gets you to the next level when you're going through this stuff. And then, you know, like anything, you have to become educated, you have to become skilled. And the more you do things, the more you have that drive, that love, that purpose filled life, you know, the better that you can do. And then, you know, spread that love to everybody else. And that's where the magic comes in, I think.
Oh, it is so true. It, you know, I'm a believer of, you gotta think of it and then you dream it and then you gotta believe you can do it. But that's that whole Napoleon Hill. But there's a piece that a lot of us forget, and that's you gotta make it happen, right? And that's what you were describing about getting educated. And it's true, like, you know, mom inspired me with her tough love by throwing it back on me. And I started the story about, you know, I spent a lot of, I can brush my teeth, I can go to kindergarten, I can paint, I can ride a bike, I can go sailing, and I can do it, right? And I spent a lot, I can sail, I can fly, I can scuba dive, I can climb the Himalayas. But when I stopped trying to be, I can do it. And what I realized, instead of unstoppable Tracy, what was bigger and what really pushed like a lucky byproduct of personal success was when I changed it from unstoppable me, unstoppable Tracy, to unstoppable you. What I realized, like, I was fundraising on my Paralympic campaign for sailing and for a Paralympic sports club called Team Paradise in the US with Magnus Ligidol. So I would speak on his behalf and people would come up and say, oh my gosh, I was ready to commit suicide. And you just told me, I got no excuses. I can do this, right? And or I didn't know what to do. I'm a mom and my child is struggling in school and I'm so worried. Or, you know, all these different really vulnerable, heart-wrenching stories. Or I'm an entrepreneur and I've been so afraid to quit my job and I feel like I'm making my boss all this money and I'm always asking myself, why aren't I doing it for myself? And you just gave me the courage to go do that, right? And all I want to do is raise some funds for my boat for sailing, right? And I get all this feedback. And then I realize, like, this isn't about me. It's not about I can do it. It's about we can do it. You know, it's about if I can do it, you can do it. No excuses. We can all do it. No limits, right? And so it took me till like 40 to figure that out. That it isn't about unstoppable me. It was like an extended teenage headspace, I think, somehow. I don't know. To be, I can do this. I can do this. I can open this door, you know? And because every day, people lovingly, well-intended, underestimate me with every door, with every cup of tea they hand me. And they don't know that I climbed the Himalayas or that I busted Uber into Canada, right? Like they don't.
So we're in the Himalaya. Have you climbed?
I did the Annapurna region.
Nice.
The Annapurna region.
Sure.
And, you know, we started out and I think we first tried with the legs and it didn't work. And same with skiing, same with sailing. Like we went back to Kathmandu and we left my legs in Kathmandu. It's kind of like a song. Leave your legs in Kathmandu. Leave your baggage in Kathmandu. And then went back and did it on my knees. And there's a few amputees that have done it since, but I did it way back 91. And it was just me and my bandana and a great group of people. So the woman that I met at 8 years old in that waiting room, she was on the group with me when I went to the Himalayas. And but this time we co-facilitated. We were both leaders on that group.
I don't know if you know this, but I'll be headed to Kathmandu in the end of March. So I've got
so Everest, excited.
Yeah, I've got Everest coming up. So let me throw some names at you: Jane Fonda, Dr. Phil, Michael Douglas, John Travolta, Mel Gibson, Mark Wahlberg, and many, many others, including Oprah. How mm-hmm. did you get connected with all these people? Are you are you going to get a star in the Walk of Fame in Hollywood? That's your next thing?
Canada just inducted me into the Hall of Fame 2 weeks ago.
For Hall of Fame of what?
The Canadian Hall of Fame for people with, well, and it's a specialty around the difference I made in the world of people with disabilities.
Oh, you're awesome.
But the, you know, Wayne Gretzky's on that wall and Brian Mulroney's on that wall. So there's some, which was our prime minister for those around the world listening in Canada.
Yeah.
But Oprah magazine, I was on a dock and I was fixing a boat and these 9 sexy, sassy models come on with their bikinis and their makeup and their hair and they're, and I'm like tweaking a boat with my long white sleeve shirt, trying to hide from the sun as much as possible. Cause you're 24/7 in the sun as a sailor with a baseball cap on. And they were doing an article called Raw Beauty. And the channel is really narrow in Miami and Biscayne Bay. The water's too shallow for some of those deep motors and the motorboats or sailboats with deep keels. And so I sailed out behind them and they said, you know, there's a raw beauty, meaning me without my arms and my legs, sailing behind them. And their boat, their motorboat, splashed me with a massive wake, which is, you know, a sailor's nemesis, and drowned me like a rat. And so I'm like all wet and drippy. And their photographer took a picture of me because they said, there's a raw beauty. Well, I ended up being the 9th raw beauty with all these beautiful babes in 2014 because I was on the dock. And, you know, you talked about like how lucky I was to be in that waiting room at that right time in the right place. But, you know, and I have a great belief in that right time, right place, and the signs are there. But the bigger piece that I want all of your listeners to take in that raw beauty moment, like I was on that dock, right time, right place, and people think, oh, just luck. But it's more than that. It's like you have to be the one that jumps to say, oh, I'll sail. Not, you know, can I, will I, I've never done it before. Figure that all out afterwards. You need to jump and say, can I? Can I do the one? Can I be the one? And when you said about Dr. Phil, you know, last week I was with Vince Vaughn and Russell Peters, an international comedian, but started in Canada. And Dr. Phil came back and I saw him again. And it was so fun for him to be able to say this time, because he knows me from last time, oh, hello, sweetheart. And I'm like, oh my gosh, right? It's like, wow, Dr. Phil's talking to me like he knows me. And
so is this on the speaking circuit?
On the speaking circuit.
Yeah. So what you're saying, so a lot of these connections for you have come from, I know Oprah thing was separate, but these other ones that we talked about, Jane Fonda and the others, have to do with you being invited to come speak at some kind of international event where they were also participating. Is that right?
That's right. Well, and so Jane Fonda, I went to Uganda with a great organization called Karabo, and we made a difference in schools in Northern Africa. And we chose to go to a place where people just don't go to. So it was quite the journey to get to these schools. And so I traveled with a man named Calvin Knight, and his brother created a top 10 event at a massive Massey Hall venue. And one of his top 10 speakers was Jane Fonda. And he had a celebrity politician, a celebrity musician, a celebrity, Jane Fonda. And he brought me on because he knew me from Uganda and he knew my sailing journey of sailing with World Cup able-bodied men, 27 able-bodied men, as big and gigantic and handsome as yourself, and only 3 women. And I was one of those 3 women, but the only one with no arms and no legs. Yeah. So Calvin's brother knew that I was an athlete, but he knew me personally because of me and his brother going to Uganda together as teachers. So it was just a great, great, you know, who you know, and you never know. And it's really important that we're good to people in our lives. We're good to the person handing us the coffee and helping us with gas and opening a door. Like there's so many touch points. And because of my disability, I was forced to learn really young, put a smile on my face and make other people feel comfortable. And it's served me really well. And I mean it authentically. I'm grateful for somebody opening a door, but that also that relationship can be dialed up.
Yeah, no, it's random acts of kindness, right? And going both ways, and that really can filter out. And if you put that out there and people choose not to respond, then they don't, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's very touching and moving, and it's amazing when those dots do connect. I want to ask you a couple more questions, and I want to talk because you've got this gigantic list of accomplishments. That's why they call you Unstoppable Tracy.
And Unstoppable You.
Yeah, and it's possible. No, and so that's one of your books, Unstoppable You, Exceed Uncertainty, Embrace Possibilities, Earn Independence. I mean, just great titles about really, again, gets back to that word called empowerment. And then tied to that is something that I've done a lot of, and I think has really helped me out on my, especially when I was playing football, I used to like literally visualize me jumping up and catching passes in the last second, and all these things I visualized all happen. But talk to me a little bit more about that like when you're coming out with these titles and these words of, I mean, they're titles, but they're empowerment, right?
Yes.
Empowerment titles. That's what they are. And then tying those into visualization, like what's the magic secret that brings those power phrases together with the way that you see and the way you use your mind to accomplish?
Absolutely. I love that question. And the framing of the book and understanding it that way, like I call it Unstoppable You. So the secret, instead of just being Unstoppable Tracy and being inspired by me, it's I don't want to be inspiration only. I don't want you to walk away saying, wow, she's great. What I really would love is for you to walk away and your listeners to walk away feeling like I can do anything. Nothing's going to stop me anymore, and take action and turn it into results. And so I call it Unstoppable You. And the secret by the end of this podcast is exceed uncertainty, embrace possibility, and earn independence. So you exceed uncertainty. So feeling uncertain is no excuse for an action. So when I was falling out of that boat feeling uncertain, I could see myself, I could visualize myself sailing confidently in that boat. And, you know, that pit, when you talked about me being duct taped into the boat, you know, all of those able-bodied people, which is so funny, they got so many advantages just having fingers and toes and being big, strong men with long arms, but they all boycotted it. I had to sail in that competition with no adaptions because they said it's a one class rule and the boat has to be one class. So any adaptions to my boat were considered illegal. And so when I sailed in that, that was a shot of me trying to figure out how to sail that boat. But because I was falling out of it again, I was falling out of it years later, but this is a higher performance boat. And I sailed that regatta without that duct tape. But I could see myself on that start line, and that's what I did to kick butt with all those big strong men. Is I just saw them behind me, and I saw the wind in my hair, and I saw myself crossing that line. So you exceed uncertainty. Feeling uncertain is no excuse for inaction, and you embrace that possibility that even though you can't imagine how am I going to do it, I don't know how, and right, like we didn't know how am I going to ski. Right. And because of a few failures and knowing that you just believe it and you make it happen, even though you don't know how. And so I went and I surrounded myself with great skiers. Who you surround yourself with is who you become. You surround yourself with great athletes. You stretch yourself. You surround yourself with great entrepreneurs. You stretch yourself. So I surrounded myself with some great ski instructors, and I'm sitting on a bench with my legs off, and my ski instructor, he's got his boots off. And I've got like this 11, 12-year-old mind, and it's kind of like the inappropriate 12-year-old mind. And I'm thinking, holy cow, he's got big feet as a 12-year-old. And then I get this light bulb. He's got big feet. Holy cow, my thighs could fit in his ski boots. So that's what we did. We threw my thighs, my stumps, in men's ski boots. And when forwards didn't work because it was knees to skis, because ski boots are angled, we turned the ski boots around because they're angled, and it put me in that skier's tux position. So we didn't know how I would ski, but I knew, I embraced the possibility that I can do it, even though I don't know how. And I surrounded myself with some smart brains, But it turns out just being in that environment gave me the clues I needed, right? Being on the couch at home, Googling and doing some kind of occupational therapy research, like just get out there. You don't know how you're going to start a business, but just get started. And so even though you don't know how, exceed uncertainty, even though you don't know how, embrace possibility and earn independence. When I was hanging off that cliff in Thunder Bay, Ontario, the first time, or in Nepal, in the Himalayas, or a few months ago on a 25-story high rise at Yonge and Bloor, downtown Toronto, swinging in a very windy day, and I was scaling the outside of the building. It doesn't matter if you're young or old, black or white, male or female, doesn't matter. What anybody can do it. If I can do it, no arms, no legs, you can do it. So scaling that building and Nepal and Outward Bound, every single time I get over the top lip of that edge, I'm petrified. And I often have that, oh my goodness moment, right? You're frozen when you get over that lip and you're hanging there and you look left and right and down, which is the craziest thing to do. And you feel like you're all alone. And you feel like, oh my gosh, the only way down is down, like it's a bad thing. And instead, it's like the only way to take on this, oh my goodness moment is to take it on. But we know what always happens at all three times in my life, all three different ages, was somebody always shouts, hey, Tracy, how you doing? And you know what I forget? Is I forget there's someone on my lifeline. There's someone on my belay line. There's someone on my safety line. You know, climbing is incredible. I love that you've done 7 summits. So you'll be able to embellish this in a much more beautiful way than I'm describing. But every time they shout, I feel like they've got a lifeline. And that's, who do you surround yourself with? Are you surrounding yourself and listening to the naysayers? Like, oh, this isn't realistic. What do you think you're doing? How can you spend that much money? How dare you quit your job? Holy cow, you think you can have a baby with no arms and no legs? You know, all of these things that people can be saying to you as a business person or as a person with a disability or as a woman. Oh, all of the senior position are male, or you've just got your master's and everybody else has their PhD, or you just have your high school diploma and everybody else got their master's, like whatever, right? You can do it. And you know, my biggest naysayers are also my biggest lifelines, like my mom, my sister. Like when I went to head down to pursue my Paralympic dream sailing and jump in the car, they said, that's unrealistic. Like, what are you doing there? It just doesn't make any sense. And they'd already seen me climb the Himalayas at a younger age, but they just were worried about me and they love me. Mm-hmm. So usually our parents, our spouses, our life partners, our neighbors, our children. You know, people are protective of us and they want to tell us not to do these things. So earning independence, you know, who's on your lifeline? And then also, who are you listening to podcasts like this one with Mark that's on your lifeline to remind you you can do it and to go for it, even though you've got some realism vibes that aren't relevant going on with your immediate family who you love and trust? Because you also trust Mark and stay with Mark so that you keep remembering you can do it and have him on your lifeline. So earning independence for me didn't come alone. Earning independence came with surrounding myself with phenomenal souls like Mark. And that's my lifeline, right? So Unstoppable You, the secret to Unstoppable You to be just like Unstoppable Tracy and Unstoppable Mark is exceed uncertainty. Feeling uncertain is no excuse for inaction. I don't do it without fear. I just do it in spite of fear and embrace possibility. Even if you don't know how, you can do it and earn independence.
I love that. No, of course not alone. And that's really surrounding yourself with those key people. John Wooden, the great UCLA coach, always said, if you want to better yourself, surround yourself with 5 people that are better than you. And you talked about that, elevating yourself to another level. And the other thing, and I'm going to say this opposite of what you just said about clues, right? So the way I like to think about this is success does leaves clues. So if you start looking out there and you want to start mentoring, you have that mindset that you want to go after, start going after and understanding what the people before you that have done something similar that have led to a path where you're going to be successful, because you don't have to completely recreate, reinvent. you know, the whole world, it's usually been done that is out there. I didn't go from Little League to the NFL in one swoop. I didn't go from, you know, some small little mountain to climbing Mount Everest in, you know, 1 year. Right. So it's been through the test of time and guiding and educating myself and surrounding myself with the right folks. So in closing, I know you're out on the world stage speaking all over with all these rock stars and movie stars, and you're a star. Where can people find the Unstoppable Tracy?
Well, and good business advice for everybody is keep it simple. Just have one easy place to go to. And so mine is Unstoppable Tracy. So I like to say unstoppable is so unstoppable, there's two P's, don't forget. And that Tracy, I like to say no arms, no legs, and no E in Tracy, no extra parts necessary, T-R-A-C-Y. So I'm unstoppabletracy.com, or my Instagram, my Facebook, my LinkedIn, my Twitter, my YouTube, my Pinterest, anything you can think of, it's all under Unstoppable Tracy.
I love that. I love that. Okay, listen, from Unstoppable Mark over to Unstoppable Tracy, the one and only, thank you so much for coming on the pod. You are an inspiration. I loved having you speak with us. I say us, it's not just me, because I'm always inspired by all these people that come on, but also the rest of the planet that is tuning in to Finding Your Summit, all about people overcoming adversity and finding their way. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Unstoppable listeners.
Hey, and thank you so much for listening to the Find Your Summit podcast. We are so glad to have you along for this journey. And if you enjoy the show, please tell a friend, share it on iTunes, spread it to the planet. We're looking to broadcast this to every person that is out there because, as you know, everybody has their own summit that they're going after. Okay, if you're looking to follow my journey, you can find that through my social links on markpattisonnfl.com. That's Mark, M-A-R-K, Pattison, P-A-T-T-I-S-O-N, nfl.com. So, until the next podcast, just remember, clear eyes, full hearts, and remember, it takes a little more to make a champion, so make it happen. Thank you. Bye.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.